Hello, my name is Ilana Flaumenhaft. Welcome to Torah Imecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. Today, we will be studying Sefer Tehillim, Perek Lamed, Chapter 30. Perek Lamed, Chapter 30 begins with the words, Mizmor Shir Chanukat HaBayit LeDavid, a song for the inauguration of the temple by David. It is the chapter we say every morning before Psukei Dezimra, the prayers we say between Baruch She'amar and Yishtabach. Rabbanit Tarragon said in her introduction to Tehillim that it is important to understand the historical context of a Perek of Tehillim. Since this chapter is said during our daily morning prayers, its liturgical context is also important. I learned so much when I prepare for my shiurim. I had no idea that the source of saying this Perek before Psukei Dezimra is actually unclear. It seems to be a practice introduced in the 15th century in Portugal. In the 17th century, it became part of Nusach Ha'ari, the format of prayers in the Siddur, based on the tradition of the Ari, Rabbi Isaac Luria, the 16th century Kabbalist. However, it took more than 100 years before it became standard in Kabbalistic prayer books. It is unclear how this chapter, Mizmor Shir, became included in Ashkenazic Siddurs. The earliest Siddur, which included Chapter 30 before Psukei Dezimra, is from 1788. Interesting to note that Rabbi Shimon Schwab, in his book on prayer, Iyun Tfila, noted that his German Jewish community did not adopt the custom of saying this Perek before starting Psukei Dezimra. Since saying Perek Lamed before Psukei Dezimra is now common practice among most Ashkenazim, we should understand why we open our morning prayers with this chapter. The Tikkun Tfila, written by Rabbi Yosef Chaim ben Eliyahu of Baghdad, explained that since the Gemara in Megillah 29a maintains that all synagogues and study halls must be considered a mikdash ma'at, mini temple sanctuary, it is appropriate to begin our tefillah with a psalm of temple inauguration. Nevertheless, while the inclusion of Perek Lamed in our daily shacharit morning prayers is somewhat mysterious, the recital of Chapter 30 on Hanukkah was established in Masechet Sofrim, a minor tractate of the Talmud at the end of Seder Nezikin, Laws of Damages, the fourth order of the Mishnah. When celebrating Hanukkah and the rededication of the Beit HaMikdash, it is fitting to say a Perek of Tehillim about that very same topic. We have just explained the liturgical context of the Perek. Now let's take a closer look at the chapter itself. The superscription in the first pasuk says that this is a song about the inauguration of the temple, and it was LeDavid, composed by David. But Shlomo, his son, was the one who dedicated the Beit HaMikdash. How are we to understand this? The most straightforward way to understand this is with Rashi and others, who explain that David composed the song to be sung later, in Shlomo's days. As with its construction and its furnishings, David gave Shlomo specific instructions and left for him all of the materials necessary to build the Beit HaMikdash. We can see the significance of David's contribution to the temple, despite the fact that he never built it, from a Gemara in Shabbos 30a. It states that during the ceremony of the inauguration of the temple, Shlomo tried to bring the Aron, the Ark, into the Kodesh Kedoshim, the Holy of Holies. But the temple gates would not open for Shlomo until he appealed for them to open in the honor of David. So ultimately, David was responsible for the completion of the dedication of the Mikdash. But there is a bigger question we have to answer. While the first Pasuk verse refers to the inauguration of the temple, the rest of the chapter has nothing to do with the Beis HaMikdash at all. Most of the verses are about thanking Hashem for being healed and includes many different ways of saying that David prayed for salvation and is grateful to Hashem for being saved. As it says in Pasuk Gimel, verse 3, Hashem Elokai shivata elecha v'tirpeini. Hashem, my God, I cried out to you, and you healed me. Let us discuss the historical background of this Perek, which will answer our question of connecting the body of the psalm to its superscription. There are a few different ways to understand the context in which this Perek was written. Let us start with the Radak, Rav David Kimchi, a 12th century Bible commentator and grammarian in France. He wrote that this refers to David's spiritual anguish and regret for his actions with Bathsheba. His enemies believed that as a result of this sin, David would lose the kingdom for himself and his descendants. When Shlomo was crowned, the son who resulted from the actual sin, David saw that he was forgiven and wrote about how he called out to Hashem and Hashem answered him. Based on the Radak, the connection of the first verse to the rest of the chapter is David being grateful for being forgiven and therefore was able to have his son Shlomo build the temple and wrote this chapter for the inauguration. There is a different way of understanding the context of this parak. Rav Shimon Schwab wrote that this parak refers to the events in Shmuel Bet, Parak Chaf Dalet, the second book of Samuel, chapter 24, the last chapter of the Sefer, as well as the parallel account in Divrei HaYomim Aleph, book 1 of Chronicles, chapter 21. At the end of David HaMelech's life, he sinned and instructed Yoav, his army commander, to count all of Bnei Israel, from the city of Dan in the north to the city of Beersheba in the south, so that he would know the size of the nation. Yoav knew that it was prohibited to count Bnei Israel and tried to get David to rescind the request, but to no avail. After they were counted, David realized he sinned and admitted his guilt and asked Hashem not to punish him. Unfortunately, that was not what would happen, and a malach, angel, sent a plague that killed 70,000 men. The angel was about to destroy Jerusalem, but Hashem stopped him. The Navi, prophet, God, was sent to David and told him to build a mizbeach, an altar, in the spot where the future Mikdash will be, in the field of a man named Aravna. David did that and sacrificed korbanot, sacrifices, to consecrate the location and thank Hashem for halting the angel's destructive actions. David said, "Here will be the house of the Lord, and here the altar of burnt offerings for Israel." According to Rabbi Schwab, the connection of the first verse to the body of the chapter is that when Hashem forgave David, he enabled David to dedicate the future location of the Beit HaMikdash, and he wrote this parak to be said at the inauguration. We have explored two different ways of understanding the historical background of this parak and how it connects the first pasuk about the inauguration of the temple to the subsequent psukim about praying to Hashem for forgiveness. Both connected to a sin that David did, was forgiven for, and led to David's contribution to the Beit HaMikdash in some way. There is another interesting way to understand the historical significance of this parak. It is also relevant to us now in the month of Adar. Rashi obliquely references it in his commentary to Pasuk Yud Bet, verse 12. He says that, "Hafachta mispadi lemacholi," you have changed for me my lament into dancing, refers to Mordechai and Esther. Rashi is basing this comment on the Midrash, Psikta de Rav Kahuna, chapter 8, which interprets the entire Perek as pertaining to the miracle of Purim. The Midrash explains how the Psukim verses connect to the Purim story. Pasuk Bet, verse 2, Aromimcha Hashem ki dilitani, I will exalt you, Hashem, for you have raised me from the depths, is a reference to when Mordechai mounted Achashverosh's horse. Mordechai's students responded with Psukim Hey and Vav, verses 5 and 6, Zamru Lahashem Chasidav, Behodu Lezechar Kodsho, Kirega Beapo, Chayim Bertano, sing to Hashem his devoted ones and give thanks to his holy name, for his anger endures for just a moment. Life results from his pleasure. Pasuk Zion, verse 7, Vani Amarti Bashalvi Bal Emot Leolam, I had said in my serenity I would never falter, refers to Haman. Esther happily said Psukim 10 and Yud, verses 9 and 10, Elech Hashem Akra, Ve'el Adonai Etchanan, Ma Betze B'dami B'rti El Shachat, to you Hashem I call, to my Lord I appeal, what gain is there in my death and my descent into the pit? Mordechai and the rest of Am Yisrael said Pasuk Yubet, verse 12, Hafachta Mispadi L'Macholi, Pitachta Saki V'Tazreni Simcha, you have changed my lament into dancing, you undid my sackcloth and girded me with joy. The Maharsha, Rabbi Shmuel Eliezer Halevi Idols, who lived in the 16th century, explained in his commentary to the Talmud, in Megillah 4a, how each verse in the chapter refers to a different part of the Purim story. We're not going to go through his parish line by line, but I do want to share his conclusion about the second half of the final verse in the chapter, Pasuk Yud Gimel, verse 13. Hashem Elokai Le'olam Odeka. Hashem, my God, forever I will thank you. The Maharsha wrote that this is a reference to Rabbi Abahu's statement in Midrash Mishlei chapter 9. Even if all of the festivals were to be nullified when Mashiach comes, the holiday of Purim would endure forever. I would like to digress for a moment and explore this rabbinic statement because I believe it has a powerful message for us always and especially now. Megillat Esther does not contain Hashem's name in it anywhere. This hints to us that this story took place during a time of Hester Panim, when Hashem's face was hidden. Hashem is always there, but sometimes reaching out to him and recognizing his hand in historical events is more challenging and requires more effort when we are in galut, exile. Mordechai and Esther were able to find Hashem in the darkness during the Purim story. When Mashiach comes, Hashem's presence will be fully and clearly revealed. We will no longer need any of the holidays that celebrate Hashem's public miracles, such as the Makot, plagues during the Pesach story. But even after Mashiach comes, we want to retain our ability to reach Hashem even when he is far from us. We are still in exile, and we are experiencing an especially difficult time, but we should learn from Mordechai and Esther that Hashem is always there, and we can and should always reach out to him with our prayers and supplications. Just as David HaMelech poured out his heart to Hashem about the troubles he was experiencing and celebrated when Hashem saved him, may we also pray to Hashem to come to our aid and rescue us from our difficulties and challenges, whatever they may be. Thank you for studying together, Le'ilui Nishmat Malka Esther Bat Tzvi Yosef.